Okay, let's begin. Kilayim Daf Mem Vav, and we are in the throes of the fifth perek as we get into figuring out how the vines are situated based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you have a kerem that lost a lot of its vines, and you have 10 left in a beis sa'ah, and it still looks like kramim, looks like the classic vineyard structure, then you're all good. I mean, it's still good. It's still called to be called a kerem, and you'd need to have four amos away. And Reb Zeira says, I got it. I have exactly how it looks. And the problem the Gemara has is we don't know how that picture that Reb Zeira portrays to all of their other rabbis that he showed it to works. And guess what? Not to ruin a surprise, but at the end of the Gemara, we're still not going to understand it fully in terms of how Reb Zeira fits into the Mishnah. And it's going to be either it wasn't so exact, or there's another pshat, but either way, we are in the middle of that discussion. So far, we gave suggestions about how it works out and using the imaginary vines. But at the end of the day, as we ended yesterday's daf, it's still not exactly 50 by 50, not exactly a beis sa'ah, right? It's bigger. It's right, the lines, the way that Reb Zeira worked it out, it was 64 by 48, right, which is bigger. So we use a little bit of the 64 to put next to the 48 and make it a little, closer to 50 by 50, but it still didn't work. So we're still stuck. So there's going to be a couple of other suggestions on today's daf, how exactly we could try to make it work. Like trying to fit in a circle into a square, trying to fit in Reb Zeira, not exactly the same, but trying to fit in Reb Zeira's suggestion into the Pshad. That's how we explain the Mishnah, how exactly it fits in. Just one ha'ara before that, we've been speaking about appendages and zanav, right? You have something sticking out, and the question is that vine sticking out, does it have the status? So we said, if it has one, and then you make another one, that whole sugya of appendages, and how do you view it as if it's part of the kerem or not, that's the sugya of Maseches Uksin, right? That is the topic of the last Masechta in Shas, Maseches Uksin, the last Masechta in Seder Taurus, is all about this topic, the stems of a fruit. Is that called part of the fruit for Hilchos Tuma V'Tara? If a tummy person touches the stem, is the apple tummy? If he touched the apple, is the stem tummy? And what an esrog has two appendages. There's a pitum and an ukitz, right? We have the ukitz words attached to the tree. We have the pitum that the top part that some esrogim have. So yeah, are those appendages considered part of the fruit? Again, big discussions that. It's only a couple of Mishnayos, a couple of prakim, three prakim, I think, that Uksin is. But that's what the topic is. It's known, interestingly, in Shas as a tricky topic, right? If you look in just two Gemaras, I'll quote Gemara in Brachas Daf Chaf in the Bavli. The Gemara talks about Rav Papa asked Abaya, Maishna Rishonim Disrachash Lo Nisa, Maishna Anan Delo Misrachash Lo Nisa. Why did Nisim happen to the earlier generations and not us? Right, why is it? What do we do? Imishum tenuye. Is it because they learn more? They learn more in the earlier years? Not true. We learn more. Why? Bishani de Rav Yehuda kulutani ben Ezekin have. In the years of Rav Yehuda and early Amora, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav and then a Talmud of Shmuel. There's Rav Yehuda. They all learned. The focus was Ezekin. Rashi, there in Brachos Daf Chaf. Lo ayu gedolim b'chol gemara shel dalet sedarim. Whoa. They weren't gadol in all the mesechtes. Ella bitlasa babi shalanu, the three babis, right? Nezikin, mesechta Nezikin, the three babis. V'haymelsa nakarachem. We don't have to know why this is here. So they focus on Nezikin. V'yanan kamastis l'shisha sidrei, and we study all six sedarim. We study all of Torah. And then the next line, V'chi avimati Rav Yehuda be'uksin. And when Rav Yehuda used to get up to a topic in uksin, ha'isha shekoveshes yarek be'kedera, a woman who's pickling a vegetable in a pot. V'amila zesim shekovshe be'tarfeim tahorim. Whenever he got to a topic in Masechet Uksin, this is a mishnah from the second parak, Amar, havayis derav v'shmul kachazina hacha. He used to scratch his head and say, oh, this is so challenging. Right? This is havayis derav v'shmul. Rashi, Klomer, Tam HaMishnayis Halalu Kashe Alai, Kechola Kushios, Shehayu Shnei Rabosai Miskashin Behen Bechola Gemara. This is deep. You got to work on this. So they got up to Uksin, they asked a lot of kashas. We have 13 yeshivas that specialize in Mesechus Uksin. One way to understand that that Gemara Or means we have 13 ways of understanding every Mishnah in Masechet Duxin. Different pshatim. Rashi quotes again. Be yud gimel panim yish beinenu mishno brisa shal shisha sedarim umasechet uksin gamu be yud gimel panim v'chulu and he continues. So uksin has this symbolic nature. Because then the Gemara says, so we learn a lot more. And yet, right, Rav Papa asked Abaya, but Vilu Rav Yehuda, the days of Rav Yehuda, there was a drought. He took off one of his shoes in order to go down to be the chazan. He took off one of his shoes, it started raining already. We scream the whole day and we daven, v'lesh to Mishkach. And Hashem doesn't listen. The answer is they're Moser Nefesh for Torah, and we're not as Moser Nefesh. But either way, but that's Uksin. That's one Gemara. There's another Gemara. The last Amud Beis in Harios. Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The last Amud Beis in Harios, where the Gemara there discusses that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was the Nasi, and it used to be that whenever the Nasi, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and Remeir, who was the head of he was the Chacham, or Nassim was the Av Beis Din. They used to walk in, they used to be treated the same by people. Everybody used to stand up for all of them. Rav Shimon Gamliel felt slighted. Obviously, we're talking about the Tanaim here. He didn't feel slighted personally, but it must be because of the Nasi, the house of David HaMelech. There should be a different level of covet for David HaMalchus based David. So he enacted that you only stand up for me. Again, it wasn't for the Nasi. It wasn't personally him. He only stands up for the Nasi because he felt that that office deserves its own unique status. So, but it used to, again, he have Yadir, Meir, Reb Yassin, people used to stand up. Amar Shigam Leo. Lo boy mevi hakeira ben dililu ditu. Right? There should be a difference. So, talking Amas Nisa. He was misakein that they only stand up and give covet to the Nasi, not to the other, don't give as much covet to the other Rabbanim. Let's say, some type of chilek. Hahu yom aloha yom mayor of Nasan Hasam. When he made that law, it was announced. The Afghan the days their mayor and Nasan were there. They were out that day when he made the new rule. Lamachar kiyasu, when they came in the next day, they saw, chazadul kami mikamayo, kidderagila. Milsa, they saw that. They didn't stand up for him. And again, it's not a personal thing here. But now maybe Rami and Russell were thinking like, oh, people aren't going to stand up for rabbis anymore. It's not going to be covered or abundant anymore. Amri, my high. Amru lahu. Hachi, tikkun rishu gamliel. Other Rameir says, Ani chacham, viat bezdin, nisken milsa kila didon. Let's do something to show that, you know, we could also deserve the covet. My nevile, what should we do? Whatever he's giving shir on, name a legali uksin. Let's ask him a kasha in uksin in the middle of the shir. The lesle, he doesn't remember uksin. Vekiva de lo gamar, name a le, and then we'll tell him, mi yamalel gruos Hashem yashmiya kol tehila. So, as the Gemara darshins, lemino el malel gruos Hashem. Who is appropriate to teach the greatness of Hashem? Mishi yachol lashmiya kol tehila sov. Right? Whoever could talk in any topic and learning. Navre, and then maybe we'll Navre will remove him from office. But again, Uksin has this this power of right, appendages. I assume that he learned it; it just wouldn't be on his fingertips, right? That's the Kol HaTorah Kula was learned by the Tanaim. And again, there's a lot more in depth to these stories than just what meets the eye. But just to bring out the Uksin in Brachas Daf Chaf and Uksin Daf Yud Gimel in the Bavli. Again, we try to remember everything. The Rav Chaim Chanefsky has a whole kuntris called Sefer Zikaron, where he catalogs all of the things in Chazal that are good for memory, and all of the things in Chazal that are not good for memory. That's Sefer Zikaron. He quotes 28 Dvarim Hatovim leZikaron, v'lamed Zayin Dvarim Hakashim leShichacha Hamavur B'Diri Chazal. That's what he quotes. Eating certain things and doing certain things. So quote, so putting it all together as only he can. Just read you the first one. Chazara is good for Zikaron, right? You don't need Chazal to tell us that, right? To review, of a Zara Yotest, Olam Ligras, right? Ligras Inish Avag of the Mishkach, and even if you're going to forget, and Ligran Sanhedrin Dav Sadi Tess, somebody who learns and doesn't review is like somebody who plants seeds and doesn't harvest, right? The Pashat, right? Chazar, Vitalmudo, right? And the Gemara that talks about Mischayev benafsho, if you forget your learning, that's only if you did everything you, if you didn't do everything you can, but if you do everything you can, okay, it's part of life that we forget things. But recognize, Chazal give us a little, some tips that, that would be good for, remembering. And you go, tefillah, yirashamayim, anava, miyutainug, he goes through the whole list. Right, the lahavin mashalomed. That's a good way to remember, also, right? To try to make sure we understand it the first time. To learn in shul, to learn in bakol, right? All different. Lomar ahava raba ba'ahava. Wow, that's a good one. Just scanning the list. Misugal ma'od l'shichacha. He quotes this from Eliyahu Rabbah. Right, that's the Lomar Ava Rabba. They say that from the Chazon Ish once said that all the hatzlachin and the learning that he had was because of the kavana that he had in Ava Rabba. Lomo de Lamed Lishmar Velasos. Powerful, powerful tefillah. Okay, so that's just one that I wanted to mention relating appendages from yesterday. Okay, so we're in the middle of a conversation. We're saying, okay, what's the pshat? The last we focused on, Rabbi Zera had come up with this configuration that we went through, and it ended up being, you know, all of the middle six and four on the edge, and they all came out to look like krumim, right? Shtayim keneged shtayim ve'echad yotzei zanav. But the problem was that altogether the area was 64 by 48, which was instead of 50 by 50, which is a base sa'a, which the Mishnah says it was 64 by 48, which is a much larger area of square amma footage, as we will mention. So now let's go. So now the Gemara says, oh, I have an idea. Kerach. Maybe, remember we mentioned that the corner vines are the only area that's left out, that's not part of the kerem. You can't make a zanav to a zanav. Maybe take out that four corners. Take out those four corners in terms of the adding up to the base saw. Is that going to help? So let's see. Kerach, we take out each corner. Sheish Yisrael, so that's a 16 by 16 amos. So if you do the math, so each corner is 256. 16 times 16 is 256. Altogether, 1,024. So if you take out the corners, 1,024 square amos, subtracted from, what's the total in the 64 by 48? Subtracted from 2,048, you still, now it's 452 square amos, less than a base saw. So we said, oh, Reb Zera is bigger than a base saw, the way he said it, okay, take out the corners, but that now is less. Now it's 452 square amos less than a base saw if you take out the corners. So the Gemara says, okay, I have another idea. Avodaso bishmona amos. Maybe Rabbi Zera is explaining, right, he comes up with how the vines are. Add on four amos in every direction. Because then, right, that's the avodah sakerem, as we said. Right, maybe the base saw in the Mishnah is including the four amos surrounding the vine, surrounding the vineyard that would be included in the Isser. So maybe that's what is including. So avodaso bishmona amos, meaning it's eight, meaning four to each, add four amos in each direction, so north, south, east, west, so it's eight in the north-south direction and eight in the east-west direction. So then you'll make it into, again, adding on eight on each side, it's 72 by 56, right? It was 64 by 48, but if you add on eight in each direction, so now you have an area of 72 by 56 square amos. So does that help? So Gemara says, well, let's try to figure it out, if it helps. Ma'at avidla, right? What are you going to do? You have one of two choices. Huv avodas l'toch beisah, do you include it, the vines, and its surrounding avoda, meaning the four amos around on each side? So, ochus l'avodasar, or do you not include it? Look at Reb Chaim Kanievsky, just clarifies the question. Eich ata machashiv cheshbon. Karmo, Rav Zera, how are you figuring it out? To be man of shachina olu l'cheshbon keren debasisan. Either way, it's not going to fit. Either way, it's not going to fit. So Gemara says, itav dine huvava daso betoch beisah. If you're going to count the four amos around, is including the beisah, then it's going to be too big. Why is it going to be too big? So Gemara says, ashkach, it'll come out chaser. We change the girsa here. Chaser chameshmon v'tmanya. 508. Chameshmon v'tmanya. Why? Because we said if you add on the four amos on each side, which is what? We said they're 64 by 48. So add on four on each side, which is eight in each direction. So it's 72 by 56. So the sides are the square of 72 by 56. What's the square footage of that? I did this math before, so that's what, and I'm doing it so quickly. What's the square amos? 4,032 square amos. 4,032 square amos. and you take out the corners, in that case, how much are taking out the corners? We said earlier, 1,024. You're still left with 3,008. If you added on 4 on each side, and then you take out the corners, you're left with an area of 3,008 square amos, which is still 508 more than 2,500, which is a beis ha. A beis ha is 2,500. So if you add on the corners, and then you take out the, if you add on 4 amos on each direction, and then you take out the corners, you're still 508 over. Right? That's what Gemara says here. Ashke chaser chameshmon vitmanya. You're 508 too much. Meaning chaser means the Mishnah is chaser. Meaning the beis ha, the Mishnah, which is 2,500, is less than Reb Zeira's description of 3,008. And if you're telling me, okay, don't include the 4 amos around, then ashkach yeser. So then the Mishnah is more, what we spoke about yesterday, me'arba mavin chamshin v'tarti. Right? So then the Mishnah is 452, the Mishnah is more. Right? Because that's what we started off with today. If you just take out the corners, you don't count the 4 amos around. You just take out the corners. The corners were, remember, 16 by 16, it's 256 each. 1,024 altogether. And you subtract that from Reb Zeira's description, which is what we were working with yesterday, the 64 by 48, which is all, and you subtract the corners from that. So it's 452 amos smaller than a beis ha. So either Reb Zeira's is more than a beis ha by 508, or smaller than a beis ha by, 508, and or smaller by 452. So we are stuck, and we still don't know exactly how to put in Reb Zeira's explanation into the Mishnah. It's still difficult. We're trying to figure it out. So the Gemara says, okay, I have another idea, or two other ideas. Maybe we've been working with the assumption that the vines were exactly, the vines that were left, the 10 vines that were left, were exactly 8 amos away from each other. Because that was the maximum. Remember we said, if you wanted to count rows as one big kerem, if you have one row here and one row over there with 30 amos in between, that's not a vineyard. Those are two separate rows of vines. So we've been working with the assumption that the rows of vines that are left after all of these vines were destroyed, is that the maximum shear? Maybe that's not true. Maybe they're even more separate, or maybe they're even less separate. The Gemara is about to say, but then it's not a vineyard. But let's see. So the Gemara says, we switch the next word from ukmoplagos to ubimuflagos. That's the language of the Marafolda. And if you want to say, well, maybe the vines are further away from each other. Bimuflagos. Because the Gemara did the math. If you would have the rows separated by 17.68 amos, muflagos, right? The Mefarshim did the math for us. That would be exactly beis ha. Right, if they would be separated by 17.68, then it's perfect. What's the problem? They're too far away from each other to be counted as a vineyard. Bumaflagos ki yichidiosein. They will be counted as individual vines. So you can't just make up and say, oh, work backwards. Reb Zeira gives these dimensions. If they're separate from each other by 17.68, so then it's all good. That's going to rework out to 2,500. But you can't do that. Hilchus Kerem, we said. The rows have to be within 8 amos of each other. Right? Maybe if there's 3, they have to be within 16 amos of each other. Right? 17.68, little too much. Right? That's what we said. Again, even if you want to go like the opinion that we had earlier in the last parak, that if you have 3 rows, then they're allowed to be 16 amos away from each other, 17.68 is more than 16. And therefore, right, you're going to have to count them as separate vines. So the whole thing, the whole suggestion doesn't get off the ground. And if you want to say, in Tamar, berotzef, we had that word once before in the Masech. The berotzef means very densely planted near each other, the opposite of muflagos. Maybe they're closer in. Maybe they're closer into each other. If the remaining vines are 14.3 amos space, and you include the avodas hakerem, That it also works out. So again, if they're very separate from each other, then it could work out. No, you can't count them together then. If you put them closer to each other, small enough that then if you add on 4 amos around, then it would work out. That's also no good. Why? Because if they're closer to each other, so that means really in a beis ha, if you use these dimensions, you could fit more than 10 in a beis ha. But the Mishnah says, Lo tanina ela eser gefana lebeisa. Right? So therefore, you'd be able to fit more in based on this distancing. So it doesn't work. So says the Gemara, Havi lo mati tanye. We can't figure it out. Lo mati tanye, we can't figure out exactly how Rebbe Zeira's explanation fits in the configuration that he gave. So something's going to have to give. The Gemara does not give another suggestion. But some, either there's going to be, maybe the Gemara, maybe the Mishnah does not mean that every single vine left in this configuration is part of a 2x2x1, right? Maybe it just means there's one section. Or maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah was not being as exact. Either way, the Gemara does not answer the question. Okay, a couple of other points that are related. And then I said the next Gemara gets into the next part of the Mishnah, totally different topic. The last section here on Mevama Beis spoke about maybe there are Muflagos or Road Safe. Sometimes things are too far from each other, and sometimes they're too close to each other. Right here, if they're too far, it doesn't work, and if they're too close. There's a balance, not only in Hilchus Vineyards, but there's a mitzvah d'araisa. The Rambam quotes a mitzvah d'araisa, and the Chinuch quotes it as well. The Chinuch follows the Rambam. Mitzvah d'araisa to be close to Talmid HaChamim. Mitzvah d'araisa. This is mitzvah 6 in the Rambam's list. That's pretty far up. We mentioned the order of the Rambam. The Rambam does not tell us exactly what his order is based on, but he has clusters of mitzvos. And at the beginning, he has, one would think, defining ones. Mitzvah number 1 is believing in Hashem. Mitzvah number 2 is Avas Yichud Hashem, the uniqueness and the oneness of Hashem. Mitzvah number 3 is Avas Hashem. Mitzvah number 4 is Yiras Hashem. Mitzvah number 5 is davening. The first mitzvah about doing something is davening. Mitzvah number 6, being close to Talmidei Chachamim. That's the Rambam, a mitzvah saseh daraisa. He says, Sivanu l'hischaber im ha-chachamim, u'lehisyached imahem, u'lahasmid b'yeshivasam, b'chol ofan me ofanei ha'avoda, v'hachevra, b'machal u'b'mishte v'ha'isek, k'dei sheyagia lanu l'hidamos b'maseihem. So that we can learn from their actions and copy them. U'laha'amin ha'amitius midivrehem, and to hear their words. Where does it say that in the Torah? Where does it say they have to be close to Tabichah? Uvo Sidbak. Be close to him. The Rambam says, Uvo, how do you be close to God? Be close to his servants, to his Talmidim. Right, that's the Rambam said. V'chiev shal oladim l'davik b'shchina? Can you be close to a shchina? V'haksiv v'hashem l'kecha ish ochlohu. Ela kol ha-meisi bitu l'tam al-chacham. V'anosei basa l'tam al-chacham. V'amahane min l'chazav. Ki ilu nidva b'shchina. So you're connected to Talmidei Chacham. And the Chinuch himself also, obviously, as he always does, he follows the Rambam in counting this mitzvah. Mitzvah sachever v'advika im chachmi haTorah. And the Chinuch says, k'deishin nil moldi mahem, mitzvah se'a nechmados, v'yareinu adeos amitios. We can learn from them, and they can teach us. So the Chinuch says, if somebody goes through their entire life, and they have the opportunity to be near great Torah leaders, and they shirk that, and they don't do that, mevatel mitzvah sasei. And he can. And it's terrible because this helps your Avodas Hashem. And that's what it says in Pirkei Avos. The Ramban counts, might not argue on this concept, but he counts the pasuk of Avo Sidbak as a different mitzvah. The Yireim quotes that no, to be he quotes this mitzvah of Avo Sidbak. How do you stick to Hashem? Being like him, copying him, forgetting the Talmid Chachamim. And that's the Gemara Mahu Racham V'Chanun Afatei Racham V'Chanun Mahu Chanun. It's all of those. One more, the Smak. This is just all about this mitzvah, and we'll get to how this is relevant to us in a second. The Smak, I always love looking at the Smak. He always has a fascinating inyanim, one of the Bali Atosvas, right, the Rav Yisrael Mikarvil. He has mitzvahs that nobody else counts. But here he quotes the mitzvah of L'davik Bashem. What does it mean? It means to be physically connected. L'davik, like the Rambam quotes at the end, but the Rambam is general, being close to rabbis. The Smak says, L'davik b'tamid chacham, b'chibur b'zivug v'hanhagaso minachasav. L'davik b'afar raglayim. Like specifically try to get married into families of Talmidei Chachamim and do business with Talmidei Chachamim and v'chulu. And then he says, v'yehe zanav la'arayot, v'al yehi rosh l'shu'alim. right, relating to our Zanav discussion yesterday. Why am I quoting this? Because there's another Mishnah in Perkei Avos. We have to be close to Rabbanim and close to Rabbanim and close to Rabbanim and close to Talmidei Chachamim, says the Rambam. But it also says in Perkei Avos, you can't get too close. You can't get too close. Right, that's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the second parak. Different versions about which Mishnah it is. And this one I'm using here, it's Mishnah Yud. Says the Mishnah. Vavim mischamim keneged uren shel chachamim. Be warmed from the fire of the rabbis. Vavim zohir begachaltan shel tikaveh. But don't be burned by the coals. So the Mishnah says, be close but not be too close, right? In our Gemara, right? The vines, you have to be close but not be too close. But this is the, in terms of how we are close to Talmidei Chachamim. And Rabbi Lau, in his commentary, Yachal Yisrael on Pirkei Avos, he says, it's interesting that it starts off, be warned by their aur and be careful from their gacheles. So it starts off talking about a flame, and the second part talks about a coal. So it says, be when they're fire, be close to them, but be careful from their coals. What? Why? Fire, as we know, is warming and protective in certain areas, but it also could be destructive. It also could be burning. So that's why you have to be careful of the fire, but the fire gives off light. A coal on the outside doesn't look like fire. It just looks like a coal. Inside there are embers burning. So sometimes if somebody doesn't get proper covered and proper, relating to the Talmud Chacham, it's a gacheles that could burn. Right now you might not feel it, or you might not recognize it, but that's im lamaris ayin harav mochel mivater v'soleach sofo shel adam lihi kavos begachaltam. And therefore this is a balance. It's a balance. And the Meiri, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, quotes this balance. The Meiri says, Vohenyan, shehudima hiskarvus l'chachamim l'medura, ein lehisrachik mimena yoser midai. You don't want to be too far away from the fire, unless you're at a campfire and it's cold. You don't want to be so far away from the fire that you don't get any warmth, but you don't want to be too close to the fire so you get burnt. So, ein lesvachi mimen yoser midai kedei sheyena min achom, vein leskariv lo yoser midai pen yichveh. V'chein achacham, ein lesrachi mimen yoser midai kedei sheyena michachmaso. You want to be close to the Talmud Chacham. V'lo yiskariv yoser midai pen yekal be'ena v'yanesh. Right, if I'm too close, then I might just not give the proper covet, and I will have levity in their eyes. Again, it's a balance. It's a balance of being close and being not too close. Again, that's a little bit related to our discussion here. The Gemara ends off with a kasha. So again, that's not a terrible thing. Sometimes we are left with kashas, right? Sometimes kashas are, that they ruin the idea. Sometimes it says tiufta. There's a Rashbam, I think, Baba Basra, that says there's a difference between if a Gemara ends off with the word kasha or a tiufta. Kasha means there's a kasha, but it could be answered. Tiufta is a stronger lashon. Tiufta means boom, right? Tiufta means it's the sheet that has no leg to stand on. There are other mafarshim that say otherwise, but that's one idea. Rav Salvechik said, one of his drushes, that there are unanswered questions in the Gemara, but you know what? There are also unanswered questions in life, right? There are tekus in Gemara. Sometimes we have akasha. I always find it inspiring when you read like a Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says, for years I've had this question. I wish I had kashas for years. Something that bothered me for years. Right? Sometimes we have akasha and then we move on and we forget about it. The Minchas Chinuch says, for years I've had this kasha. That's also already a musar, right? We should have kashas for years that bother us. But sometimes, if everything works out in the end and you have answers to all your questions, and then we forget everything and we just move on. If we end up with a kasha, well, remember Reb Zera tried to explain the configuration of those vines in the Mishnah over there in Kilayim in the fifth parak, and no, it didn't really work. It didn't really work, the configuration. It's okay. It's okay to have a kasha. But Reb Salvechik said, there are also tekus in life. Right. Sometimes there aren't answers. Right? There's not answers to every kasha. There's an unbelievable story. Again, I've used this to. You have to know how to use it. You have to know how to use it. In terms of this, it's a little spooky, but it's powerful. It's given comfort if used in the proper way. The Ramban was once with a Talmud who was very, very ill, and he was at the end, and the Ramban gives the Talmud, the Ramban could do this, he gives the Talmud a petek, a little piece of paper with a couple of questions on it. He folds it up and he says, these are my kashas. These are my kashas on life. So please take this into the, you know, inner chamber and come back to me and let me know, you know, the answers to my questions. So the Talmud soon after that passes, the Ramban, whatever, weeks later, says over the story that the Talmud came back to him, and the Talmud said, you know, I went into the first chamber and I saw, and then they would let me into the next chamber and into the next chamber, and I have a kasha from the Ramban, I have a kasha from the Ramban, and finally I got into the closer to the middle, in the inner chambers, and they let me in into the middle chambers, and I was about to ask the questions. But then when I was there, I saw there were no questions anymore. There were only everything was clear and everything was understood and everything just fit in. There were no more kashas, so I can't give you answers if there are no other questions. So that's a story of the Ramban. We don't know the answers to all the questions, but we know there are answers, and that's why, just in our limited view, there are tekus in life, just like we are tekus in the Gemara here. Habiloma titanya. Right, we don't know. Okay, we don't know, but we'll have to leave it at that. And Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue next time with the next section of the Gemara.